The following podcast is sponsored by Crystal Glass, where windshield replacement and automotive glass repair has been a specialty for over six decades. Call 310-GLASS or visit them online at crystalglass.ca. This is Gross Misconduct.
Episode 15 of Gross Misconduct. This one we're calling Person, Woman, Man, Camera, TV, which apparently, if you can remember those five words, makes you qualified to be the President of the United States. That's Carol yes. across from me. My name's Andrew Gross.
How do?
Again, we had agreed that you would...
No.
I thought we had, but
well,
that's fine.
I mean, I tried it out, but...
Really?
You know, I mean, I'm not... Hank, so.
Well, and there was no positive feedback. There was no negative feedback to it either.
Did anyone say, who's Hank Kingsley?
Nobody even made reference to
it.
So.
All right. Well, we're not going to tell you. Unless you specifically ask, we won't tell you who Hank Kingsley is.
Swing and a miss. Okay, so bringing you up to date on what's going on in my life. And Carol, if you want to jump in with what's going on in your life.
Fuck all.
Wow. That was bold. By the way, if you hear any noise going on in the background, that would be Todd from Todd Mechanical. He's in-house today.
He's putting in some sinks and
putting
taps.
In some sinks throughout the house and... We'll have him on the show a little later. I had advertised that we have a special guest. That's our special guest.
Is he excited?
I didn't ask.
Okay.
Well, there it is. So I have this sort of rule of thumb when it comes to, or I had this rule of thumb when it came to guests, and I violated that rule today. But the rule of thumb is typically they show up. Now, this is not the case in Todd's case, but when in radio, they would show up like 30 minutes early because they're nervous and they want to make sure they're not late or get caught in traffic. Mm-hmm. And then they would sit outside the studio, and it puts this small amount of pressure on you that there's somebody waiting for you outside. Then they come in studio, and typically you start having a conversation because you want to make them feel relaxed and comfortable and get the conversation going. But part of the problem with that is some of the best information you're going to get from the guest is then gotten before we're on air. So I was asking Todd about a couple of things when he first came in, and I thought, oh, I've got to stop talking to Todd because I'd rather get that on tape.
I see what you're saying.
You know, I don't know that there is even a tape involved in this anymore, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so he's got some interesting stuff we want to talk about. We'll have that a little later on. I did go down to Calgary this past weekend, as did you, actually.
I did, for a couple hours.
Yeah, that was interesting. So I was down there playing the Laugh Shop, which was interesting. It was my first show since March 7th, my first live show. It's my first, I guess, coronavirus compatible show.
Right.
I liked it. I mean, it was great to get on stage. But it was like God didn't want me to. I left here. It was beautiful. It was sunny, I think, like it is today. And then I got into like rain. And I don't know if it's, you know, my age, the amount of coffee I drink, or the sound of water. But I had to go to the bathroom so bad. Like, I had to pee so bad.
You do have a tiny bladder.
So you've told me. But here's the thing. It's raining really hard. There's construction, and there's been an accident. So traffic is bumper to bumper. Like, it's not actually stopped, but it's moving slowly. And I didn't have anything to pee into. Like, I didn't. I thought about using a coffee cup, but I didn't have one. I had taken a bottle of water, but man, you got to be fairly accurate. You know what I'm saying? With a bottle of water.
Are you not good at stopping the flow of pee?
It hurts a little bit.
Oh. Okay.
Well, why would I stop the flow of pee?
Well, if you were filling up a bottle of water and you had to stop so it didn't overflow, is what I'm saying. Is that not what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about just hitting the neck of it. You know, just getting it in the opening.
If you're
like, I'm not sticking it in the opening.
If your wiener can fit in the bottle of
in the bottle. I'm not saying fit in.
Well, you just have to line up the hole with the bottle. Okay. How difficult? Look, okay, you know, okay, stop.
You're the one still going. I just...
No, but girls can, you know, stop the flow of pee and get a cup under there. You know,
okay,
it's
Carol.
Very involved, very technical.
Are you saying that had you been on the drive down to Calgary with me?
Yeah.
And had you had to go to the bathroom?
Mm-hmm.
And had the only device available to you be a an empty bottle of water,
mm-hmm.
that you could somehow get the pee into the bottle?
It's a little different for a gal. Like a bottle of water is a little different than like the little cups that they give you at the...
Okay, well, you're no expert on male equipment.
Okay, no, but I'm just saying, you know where the hole in your dick is, right? Well, you just line it up with the top of the bottle. I don't know why that's difficult.
While driving. In a rainstorm.
Well, you could have pulled over to the side of the road.
And then how do you get back on the highway again? No, it's bumper to bumper. No way am I pulling over. Okay. Listen, if you can manage all of that, you win the big stuffy at the X.
Is it time for some Depends?
No, it just...
No, oh, that's a good idea when you're on the road. Just slap on some Depends. Right. You don't have to make any pit stops.
Okay.
Just pee as you go.
I don't know if you're aware of this because I've never done it before. I eventually pulled off in Bowdoin so that I could just find a place... to do this.
Depends, well, I'm telling you.
It is tough to get back on the highway from Bowdoin. I've never done it before, but you exit.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking Innisfail. Yeah, Bowdoin's a little...
I went beyond Bowdoin, exited, and then followed signs to go back to Bowdoin, and then you have to drive through Bowdoin and north for quite a distance to get back on the highway again. Like, I don't know. Anyways, the rain turned to snow.
Hail.
But there was so much hail.
Okay, well, say hail, don't say snow.
But it was piled up.
It's not snowing in July.
Well,
it's hail.
It kind of, same thing. It was piled up. There was plows out. It was just like, are you kidding me right now? Like, I've gone through construction accidents, torrential downpours, and now snow, right?
Full bladder.
With a full bladder, mm-hmm. I might add. And then I phoned my son, Dave. Now, we've mentioned on this show before that our furniture is provided by AlbertaOfficeFurniture.ca. Well, that's his company. And the deal was I was supposed to pick up two office chairs and a seat. The two office chairs are for us. The seat is for somebody he sold a chair to in Edmonton that I don't know what happened. Something went wrong with the seat.
Mm.
So, but at this point, having gone through everything I'd gone through to get to Calgary, I was now very close to showtime. So I phoned Dave and just said, hey, just drop the chairs off at the Blackfoot Inn. I'll grab them, take them to my, I don't know what I'm going to do, take them to my room, put them in my car, and then go to the show without a shower or changing because I was out of time.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to do that, but what he decided to do instead was leave a key to his showroom in an envelope at the front desk. You with me?
Yeah.
All right. So I looked at the clock. I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to have enough time for this. I'm going to go to the Blackfoot. I'm going to run in. I'm going to get checked in. I'm going to get the envelope. I'm going to jump back in the car, go to the warehouse, which is near the Blackfoot Inn. Throw the office chairs and the seat in the back of the car, head back to the Blackfoot, run upstairs, change my shirt, head downstairs, boom, going to work perfectly. Get to the Blackfoot, there's the envelope. It's still torrential downpour at this point. I run to the car, jump in the car, put in the GPS, the directions, which are, he's right. It's like 3 minutes away from the warehouse is 3 minutes away from Blackfoot. Get to the warehouse in my car, like an Emmy presentation. I open the envelope to see who the winner is. No key. No key, and I'm like, what the fuck? There's like two business cards with no key.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, well, did it fall out? Like when I opened it, and like, so now I'm on my knees in the parking lot, rain pouring down, searching my floor mats to try and find this key that I'm assuming he put in the envelope. No key. So I phone him, and he's like, oh, you lost the key. I'm like, no, I didn't fucking even see the key. Well, then the Blackfoot lost the key. No, so I drove all the way back to the Blackfoot, asked at the front desk. They were like, no, there was a key in there. Like, they felt the key.
Mm-hmm.
I would go, okay, and I don't know what to tell you. So now I go to the show. Soaking wet. Dave's there. My daughter Ashley's there. Her husband Kelly's there. And Dave's, I'm just going to say it, he's pouty.
Mm.
That I lost the key. Tells me it's the only key.
You were probably a little blamey. Were you blamey?
I wasn't blaming. I was just saying you didn't put the key in the envelope. Like, I'm not an idiot. Like,
okay. All right.
There was no key in the envelope. And he's still sort of guilt trippy. You lost it. I only have one key, tells me. Who the fuck runs a business with one
weird.
Key? So what? The key, you lose the key, you're done? That's it. Well, we're out of business.
Closing up shop.
Yeah. Unless the business happens to be a locksmith, I suppose. But anyway, with minutes to go until I'm about to be introduced, he goes, listen, I was going to take this to my grave, but after I... put the key in the envelope, his wife, Victoria, phoned, wanted to bring home a table from work. Well, he only has the one key, so he put a little slit in the envelope, shook it and got the key out, opened the door, put the table in his car, and then slid the key back into the slit, but never sealed it again.
Mm.
So apparently when I ran through the parking lot of the Blackfoot with this envelope, it went flying out of the envelope somewhere. his one key to his entire business. So Ashley and I went into the parking lot while the opening act was on stage, because this would have been on the back of my mind the entire time. And we found the key. Mm. Just sitting in the middle of the parking lot.
Yikes.
I know. Anyway, shows went very well.
That's good.
Yeah, the first one I felt was kind of shaky. People liked it. I know that there was some very good feedback on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And some people messaged me and said it was good. Like, they enjoyed it. But I felt really shaky. And my children, who've seen my show a gazillion times, pointed out when I got off that I forgot half the taglines. But by Saturday night, I felt good. And, yeah. and it went good.
Yeah, you got to blow the dust off.
Yeah, exactly right. Now, I did see you on Saturday because Wyatt, our grandchild, it was his third birthday party. Yeah. Another of those situations where it was on an acreage because there was pony rides. You were coming from Edmonton. I was coming from Calgary. The GPS, as many GPSs do, seems simple enough when you're in the parking lot of the Blackfoot. You know what I mean? Like, go out of the parking lot, turn left, get on, you know, Blackfoot. Okay, great. Oh, you're, you know, 29 minutes away. Ah, fuck, perfect. And then, you know, you're 25 minutes away and 23 minutes away. And now go down this secondary highway. No problem. You know, and hey, you're now 9 minutes away. Oh, that's great. And I'm checking my phone because we have apps that can see each other. And I see you're headed to, we should be arriving at about the same time. Right. And then it's like, hey, you're 4 minutes away. And then it's like, hey, fuck you. That's it. Just.
Yeah.
Stop.
My phone did that to me too. Yeah. I was fine because it was sort of a, you know, northwest of Calgary, west of Crossfield sort of situation. I don't know about you, I had to make a lot of turns.
Well, I didn't have to make a lot of turns, but I made a lot of turns.
I mean, I had to go from this highway to this, you know, township road to this secondary highway. And by the time you had, because you phoned me, you said, I'm lost. Like, I don't know where I am. And it was right after that that my phone decided that it was no longer going to update me as to where I was on the road.
Because you were judgy. You were all judgy. You were like, follow the GPS, because your GPS had not fucked off on you yet. And I'm like, my GPS is telling me to go down these roads that don't go anywhere. And then they tell you to pull a U-turn and go back again to exactly where they told you to turn. And you were like, well, I don't know why you're having a problem. And then suddenly it was like, what the fuck? My GPS stopped working. There's some kind of zone right there, a bubble of some kind. Yeah.
Something, because it just stopped. And then all of a sudden, I, you know, it had me, what, 10 kilometers past where we were supposed to go. Anyway, we found it.
Yeah. And you know what? Just a small note, which I thought was sort of funny. So they had hired a pony for pony rides, which is great. And the lady who provides the ponies for the pony ride, she had shown up with this trailer, and out had come this little pony that the kids loved. They were having a great time, Wyatt especially, with his cowboy hat. He looked so cute. But in the back of the trailer was a unicorn. Oh, that rings a bell. Unicorn is our magic word this week. Yeah, don't bother answering the door. I'm sure my son will hear it and go downstairs at some point.
I'm just having a looky-loo.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's probably food. Anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, ponies.
Ponies.
It's funny because there was a unicorn in the back. And all the kids saw the unicorn. They were like, eh, what's going on with the unicorn? And I asked the lady with the, and she was like, oh, that's for the next party. They paid a little more and got a unicorn. I was like, wow, that sort of turned a cool, cute thing into a, why didn't you get the checkbook out and get the unicorn?
Yeah. So after, I don't know, 10 years, maybe, I got a speeding ticket.
Oh,
that pissed me off.
How were you not able to talk your way out of that?
Well, I don't know what was going on with Sheriff Kratz there, but
His name?
Yeah. So I was barely out of Edmonton.
Oh, it was a sheriff?
Sheriff Kratz.
Oh, you don't stop for those guys. Just keep going.
I'm just I knew he had me. So I was at Pigeon Lake, barely out of the city. Pigeon Lake.
Hey, that's a funny thing.
What?
If you can make a police officer on the highway laugh, has been my strategy. They'll often throw away the ticket. So when he pulled you over and said something like, did he say, do you know why I've pulled you over? Anything like
No, nothing like that.
Did he tell you what speed you were doing?
Yeah. So
listen to me. This is the joke. And then you can tell the story.
All right.
If he says you were doing 130, you look at him and go, you know what? You had me at 90.
Okay, that's...
Well, you laughed.
Well, it's corny, though. So he's on the little loop around over the overpass from in the Pigeon Lake area, like if you were coming off the secondary onto Highway 2.
Right.
And I'm doing, I gotta admit, I'm doing like 140, which, Because it's going to be a long day. I'm driving 3 hours down, staying for a 2 hour birthday party, driving 3 hours back. So you just kind of want it to be done with, right? The drive anyway. And so I'm in the fast lane going 140. I see this white kind of pickup truck with like the cab thing on the back, whatever that's called. And he's just kind of parked in the middle of the loop. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a cop. So I slowed down. Did not slow down quickly enough or slow enough.
Probably had you by your
And as I passed the little loopy thing, sure enough, he comes up and pulls me over. So he said he clocked me at 131, which was probably about right by the time I got a little bit of break on. And no, he just took my stuff and said, okay, I'll see what I can do for you.
No. Don't let them leave the car. You got to engage at the car.
No.
Because once they go back and write the ticket, nothing's changing.
No, but he said, as soon as I handed over my stuff, he said, I clocked you at 131, and I went, oh, shit, and he kind of chuckled. And then he said, I'll see what I can do for you. So right there, I'm thinking.
Well, it's not like he has to. It's not a used car lot. He's not going to go talk to his manager.
No, but it is because he reduced it from 131 to 125.
Yeah, but there's nobody in his car. Like you need to make the deal at the window.
I don't know how to make the deal. I mean, back in the day, you know, you lean over a little boobage, whatever. I wasn't really in a teary mood, so I couldn't put on the waterworks. So anyway, So he was like, he came back and it was like, okay, I knocked it down to 125. So it's a little cheaper and fewer demerits. Mm. And I was like, okay, thanks, Sheriff Kratz, for ruining my fucking Saturday.
So you lean over and he's like, are you all right? I see your airbags deployed.
So, but here's the thing.
Yeah.
So for the rest of the way to the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Airbags. I got it. I stayed within, I didn't go over 120.
Mm.
But I, occasionally keep up with the flow of traffic, whatever. But I was very like, fuck, if I got like two speeding tickets in one day. Mm. And then on the way back.
Oh, no.
No, this is good.
Okay.
I just, I'm in the slow lane going like 115 the whole way. Man, is that relaxing.
Yeah, it is.
There's no pressure because if you're going 130 or whatever and you're in the fast lane, you get pissed off at everybody who's not pulling over. You're swearing. It's stressful. But if you're just putzing along in the slow lane, fuck. Yeah.
There's no rush.
No. It was great.
When the cop said, I'll see what I can do. And went back to his car.
Mm-hmm.
And then came back to your car.
Yeah.
And handed you a ticket and said, I've reduced it to whatever, 120?
125.
Yeah. You should have said, I'll have to see what I can do on the hang on. Nope. 110's the best I can. Something like that. You got to do the talking at the window.
All right.
Hey, listen, I was going to talk about this at great length, but we've, wasted a quarter of this podcast already.
Anyways, we
went and saw the bubble.
We did. I suggested we should go down and see the bubble. And
we're
we did.
Done. We're done with seagulls. We're done with your house. We're done with trailer parks and back lanes. We're on to bubble. So it's there's not much to see, but I enjoyed it.
It's not a bubble.
Well, no. I mean, physically, there's no bubble. We saw a hockey player. We're not sure who.
We did. I think he was bubbling between the Delta and the Sutton place there.
Yeah. They've got this sort of gate that's kind of interesting where they open it one way to let people into the bubble and then they close it, which creates this corridor for people to go from one side of the bubble to the other, I guess to a restaurant,
they've
a bar
got
or whatever.
Security all over the place. So.
Yeah, it was interesting.
It was. A lot of streets shut off downtown. So,
did you happen to catch, speaking of bubbles and hockey, did you happen to catch the Montreal-Toronto game?
No. Why would I?
Because it was on before the Oiler game and it went long. So. I found it interesting. I feel as though, and I mean, it's Sportsnet, so I'm not sure why it was better in Toronto than it was in Edmonton, but I felt as though the crowd noise, the artificial crowd noise, was better in the Montreal-Toronto game. You sometimes forgot that there wasn't a crowd. But in Edmonton, it was like not, or the broadcast from Edmonton was not quite as rich with crowd noise.
Yeah, I think, well, with the exhibition games too, they're sort of working out the kinks.
Right.
As to what they want to do. So the in Toronto, what are they doing for a crowd? Are they putting like little fake people or
I didn't see any fake people, but they have some kind of hot button that they push, and then it makes the appropriate crowd noise for like so, a shot but or a goal.
It doesn't look like there's any people in the crowd.
No. Same thing as Edmonton. Yeah. It's just like all the sheets are covered with something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, maybe they'll, I don't know, change that for playoffs. For the Calgary-Edmonton game that you and I did watch together, Calgary was actually the home team, even though they're in Edmonton. Which meant that we got the Calgary Sportsnet guys, or people, Cassie and Rudy.
Kelly Rudy.
So we didn't get Drew. But I did.
Now, were you sad or happy about that?
Indifferent.
Okay.
It turns out I'm not a big fan of Cassie either. Who knew?
Well, she's a Calgary
cheerleader. She is. And she really hates the Oilers. So she has that in common with Drew. But hey, listen, did you know that Drew, so we don't have any drool from this game, which I was hoping to use. So I did some searching instead. And you're aware of the fact that Drew used to be a coach with the Sharks, right?
Yeah.
And he, I believe, and somebody can fact check
this. Was not a video coach?
Yeah, he was. So not a real coach.
I don't even
but he
know
was,
what that is.
Yeah. On, he's
well, you just look at video and you go, hey, guys, do this, do that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yes and no. You're also the coach that radios down to the bench and says, challenge that. So you got to watch.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair.
So, it's yeah. Anyway. And again, you can fact check this, but I believe during the time in which Drew Remenda was with the Sharks as a coach, they had their worst record. I believe.
Okay.
So he was asked about that as to why the record was so bad when he was with the Sharks. And here's what he had to say.
Really high when I coached.
Now it all makes sense.
All right, yeah.
All right, time for our regular segment of Just the Facts.
You got nice eyes for a cop.
And I'll bet your mother had a loud bark.
Now, listen, normally I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time on this, but because, you know, people get upset. I know a lot of our listeners are fans of Trump. And you know what? I don't want to lose listeners, but on the other hand, I don't want to suppress my opinions. It's yours that I want to suppress. But this is just an oddity. Yeah. This is just an oddity this last week. So here's the facts. There's a video that you've probably heard about. You'd have difficulty finding it now, of a doctor from Texas who went to Washington and with a number of other doctors, there's air quotes there in case, stood in front of the Supreme Court and said basically that masks don't work and that, what's that drug called?
Hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah. Anytime I need to say that, I'll just point to you.
Okay.
So this drug,
hydroxychloroquine,
she says is the answer, which, you know, clinical tests have proven otherwise.
Right.
So she puts this video up and Trump and Trump Light both retweet it.
Trump Light.
Yeah. Now, Trump has, I believe, 84 million followers. So it's fairly significant when you have that many followers. So I obviously I can't play the video for you, but I can play a portion of it. So take a listen.
I came here to Washington, D.C. to tell America, nobody needs to get sick. This virus has a cure. It is called hydroxychloroquine, zinc, and Zithromax. I know you people want to talk about mask. Hello? You don't need mask. There is a cure. I know they don't want to open schools. No, you don't need people to be locked down. There is prevention and there is a cure.
All right. So Trump had retweeted this, as I say. And then, of course, you know, this doctor who nobody knew anything about, everybody starts looking into her to see who she is and who these other doctors are that are standing with her in front of the Supreme Court. Now, the president was then asked about it this past couple of days. By Caitlin Collins, who's with CNN.
I like her.
Yeah, I do too. Now, here's her asking Trump about this doctor.
The woman mentioned that you said it was a great doctor, and that video that you retweeted last night said that masks don't work and there is a cure for COVID-19, both of which health experts say is not true. She's also made videos saying that doctors make medicine using DNA from aliens and that they're trying to create a vaccine to make you immune from becoming religious.
Well, maybe it's the same, maybe it's not, but I can tell you this. She was on air along with many other doctors. They were big fans of hydroxychloroquine. And I thought she was very impressive in the sense that from where she came, I don't know which country she comes from, but she said that she's had tremendous success with hundreds of different patients. And I thought her voice was an important voice, but I know nothing about her.
Masks don't work. Thank you very much, everybody.
All right. So we ended the press conference because other reporters allowed her a follow-up question. Now, he said, I don't know who this doctor is. I don't know where she comes from.
Why are you retweeting?
It's reckless. It's reckless. So I can answer those questions for you. She is born in Cameroon. Her medical training is in Nigeria. She runs the Firepower Ministries. It's in a strip mall next to her clinic in Houston, Texas. Among her many claims on her website is that gynecological. Thank you. Problems like cysts and
endometriosis
are caused by people having sex in their dreams with demons and witches.
Okay.
She alleges alien DNA is currently used in medical treatments.
Ooh.
She also said scientists had plans to install microchips in people because they've developed a vaccine to make it impossible to become religious, saying, quote, they found the gene in someone's mind that makes you religious, so now they can vaccinate you against it.
Oh, my God.
Listen, I'm not going to sit here and just bash the president and how stupid this is. I'm just going to say that if you're the president of the United States, in fact, if you're anybody with 84 million followers, do a little fact checking, a small amount of fact checking.
Yeah, you have to be cautious what you put out there.
Yeah, and not all of your base and not all of your supporters and not everyone who voted for you. But a lot of your base is fucking stupid. So don't be...
And they're going to believe it.
Yeah, they're absolutely going to believe it. Most of the doctors, again, air quotes, are not doctors. And none of the ones who are doctors are specialists in the area of viruses. Mm-hmm. So it's, nor is she. She's a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. She also said that magic eight ball, by the way, is the gateway to the devil. That it teaches your children witchcraft, which, well, I guess there's an argument to be had there.
No, maybe.
Now, I was going to get rid of that whole segment because, you know, you and I really don't do politics a lot.
But we do it every week.
Well, I know, but you don't seem happy about it.
Oh, I don't care.
Okay. And like I said, I don't want to upset the Trump fans, but what I found really funny about this was Anderson Cooper.
Mm.
So Anderson Cooper like addresses all of this in a 9-minute segment on his show, and he shows quite a bit of the video that we just played a moment ago with the doctor. Her name, by the way, is Stella Emanuel, if you want to look her up, Dr. Stella Emanuel. And then he plays a little later on in the segment his reporter, the CNN reporter, and what's her name again?
Caitlin Collins.
That's right. Asking the question and Trump leaving because she's pursuing this topic, right?
Pouty man.
Yeah. It's funny you say that.
Oh.
So this was, as they came back from that clip, this was Anderson Cooper on CNN.
Oh, he went out of the womb. There's too many questions. Not questions I wanted. I'm going to leave.
That is funny.
That is funny. I also liked his little pouty thing. He's pouting because Dr. Fauci is getting better approval than him.
Yeah,
but and I was just like, oh, they just don't like me. Yeah, no, no shit. Fuck. No. God.
All right. You're not going to believe this, but we have a double dose of Just the Facts.
What the fuck?
You got nice eyes for a cop.
And I'll bet your mother had a loud bark.
All right, Carol. So as we record this podcast, City Council here in Edmonton is debating the measures by which they will enforce a bylaw requiring citizens to wear a mask in all public places. Mm-hmm. Now, they've already, because they had the ability to do that more quickly, said that you have to wear a mask on any city-owned
building and transit.
Right,
all
right.
Transit, yeah.
All right, so I'm curious about this, and I'm curious what, you know, and I'll summarize a little bit. So what they're looking at right now is that it would be all public gatherings. The fine would be $100. Andrew Knack and other counselors have said the idea is not to raise money through this, but you have to have a fine of some kind. The idea is to educate. That they would like to have that in place as quickly as August 1st, and that they're kind of modeling it a little bit after what Calgary City Council has done. And again, I was in Calgary last weekend, so I kind of wondered what that looks like. And I was told by Matt Wall, who's the general manager of the Laugh Shop, that comedy clubs, bars, and restaurants are exempt. So it does strike me as a little odd that the one place where you would typically see the greatest gathering of a, you know, the greatest density of crowd, that it's actually exempt. I would think bars and restaurants would be where COVID would spread the most. But I also understand the need not to shut down bars and restaurants again. None of us want that. In Edmonton, we don't know. There's probably going to be an exemption during the time in which you're eating or drinking.
Exactly. Right. But if you get up to go to the bathroom,
you
put your mask on. You're passing tables. And
right, right. So what do you think?
I'm all for it.
All right. Good
well,
segment.
Well, as we've noticed in our out and abouts, anytime we have to go in somewhere, we are in the minority wearing a mask. It's like people have just, not doing it. I would like to see it mandatory.
I would like to see it mandatory for the sake of businesses who would probably like to enforce it, but don't have the ability to enforce it.
Or they're scared to because they don't want to lose business.
Exactly. A lot of them, I mean, what business?
You know, a small business, you know.
All businesses have struggled, our own included, over this 4 or 5 months. Mm-hmm. So nobody wants to lose more customers or upset their customers. But if it's a bylaw in the city, you know, then that makes it a little easier to enforce. Now, the other aspect of this is both Mayor Nenshi down in Calgary and Mayor Iveson up in Edmonton at some point or another have kind of appealed to Premier Kenney to say that this should be a provincial thing. And our premier has said, no, it's a municipal thing because, you know, it's not apples and apples. You know, a city is much different than a rural community, which I totally get. But I just feel the need to point out that's playing politics a little bit because the UCP support is predominant in rural Alberta.
Right.
And rural Albertans, you know, he doesn't want to tell rural Albertans they got to put a mask on. Right.
And, you know, okay, so it's rural.
Rural.
There's one of those words. So I can understand you're thinking a small town, the population is not as much as a big city, whatever.
Right.
But it's the same thing. People are still going to the Walmart and the grocery store and the gas station and, you know, the restaurants and whatever. It doesn't matter the size of the town or the city or the village. People are still interacting with other people. And there's, you know, I mean, there's been an uptick in cases for some reason.
We've surged again here in Edmonton, so that's something to be concerned about.
We've no longer flattened the curve, according to Dr. Dina.
So,
and it's obvious. Go out and about and you can see. Okay.
Where were you and I yesterday that we had to both go in? Oh, Costco.
Costco, yep.
And I'd say it was about 50-50. And I just found that sort of strange given that everybody's kind of at this point seen the Costco video from the United States where everyone.
I feel like there was more people in Costco with masks than without.
It was pretty close, I thought.
And I'm going to give you all a little heads up. So don't know if you buy the disposable masks or not. Most places sell a box of 50 for 45, 50 bucks a box. It's ridiculous. Costco, 25 bucks a box.
And a maximum of four.
A maximum of 10 boxes.
10 boxes?
It was 3 weeks ago when I went and got one box. It's a maximum of 10 boxes.
Well, that's actually a really good heads up because once this bylaw comes into effect, you know there's going to be a run on masks.
Yeah.
Right.
So if you don't want to pay 50 bucks a box, go to Costco.
I'll tell you something else that's going to happen as a result of this bylaw. is we're going to start, and the bylaw in Calgary, we're going to start seeing Alberta Dick. I'll tell you right now, there's going to be Alberta Dick as a result of this. So I wanted to maybe close the chapter on U.S. Dick with a little montage, if you will.
Every single one of you that are obeying the devil's laws are going to be arrested.
You wreck displays at Target stores. You throw good cold cuts on the floor. And please stop talking about your drawers, Karen.
I don't wear a mask for the same reason I don't wear underwear. Things gotta breathe.
Karen, Karen.
Well, we've already talked about Trump, but you know how I like to check in with the politicians.
Oh, it's that time.
It is.
Yeah.
A quick round table of politicians just to bring you up to speed. So you don't have to listen to the news anymore. You can just tune into this podcast and we'll tell you everything you need to know. So, you know, Trump, you know, he's trying to stick to his talking notes now. There's an election coming up in the United States in November, which he could still quite readily win.
Oh, fuck. God help us all.
I think he does Biden a favor when he speaks. So I think his handlers are kind of trying to get him to stick to the talking notes. Mm. His last couple of press conferences, he's been far more presidential.
He tries, but then something...
I know that you can almost, if you turn up the volume, you can just almost hear the snap. Yeah. Yeah. If when he sticks to his talking notes, he's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you an example. Take a listen.
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
He's pretty darn proud of that test, eh?
Good job.
Good job, Mr. Trump. Good job, President Trump. I apologize. Meanwhile, Joe Biden is taking a harder stand on law and order.
Yo, boom. The ting goes. Skinny keep.
Iowa's a Democratic caucus. You ever been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
Yo, boom. The ting goes.
And finally, up here in Canada, I think our Prime Minister is getting tired of being questioned about the We charity. He had this to say. To find out what Kevin thinks.
What does Kevin think?
Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
And that's what Kevin thinks.
What does Kevin think is brought to you by Fevercams, a critical tool for your business or special event. Text FEVERCAM to 780-700-2627 for more information.
And now switching gears a little bit, it's time to highlight yet another of the fabulous comedians we have planned to bring into the Edmonton Comedy Festival in 2020. The dates are October 14th to 17th. This particular comic from Toronto, his name is Andrew Ivamy. He's an individual I met while working at Absolute Comedy in Ottawa. We became fast friends very quickly. And in fact, I advised him that he should probably marry his girlfriend. And I don't even remember why I said that to him, because I don't know him really or his girlfriend. But days after I returned from Ontario on that tour, he phoned to say that they were now engaged on my advice. So I got that going for me. So sit back and enjoy Andrew Ivamy.
There is some fun stuff that comes out of the world, no matter how bad or weird things get. And my favorite moment of Trump's presidency co-aligns perfectly with my favorite moment of Trudeau as prime minister. My favorite moment for both of them was when they first met. The handshake incident. For those of you who don't know, first of all, a little preface. If you haven't already noticed, Donald Trump has a buck wild handshake. It is insane. When Donald Trump shakes a hand, he grabs it, and then it just goes everywhere. Just all over the place. He shakes hands like a drunk Oompa Loompa. Just like, nah, I'm running the factory now, Willy Wonka. Like, it's just everywhere. And in his first in-person meeting with Trudeau, Trudeau knew he had a crazy handshake. He went in and shut it down. Grabbed the hand, and then just... like veins popping in his face. Up and down, that's where a hand goes! Fighting it the whole time. And the whole time, Donald trying to pull away, like a kid who doesn't want to go to the dentist, just trying to get it away. And I loved this moment for so many reasons. I loved it for the pure moment itself, but I also loved the media coverage of this moment. Like, I saw a CBC News article that said, "We are so surprised that Justin was ready for the handshake." And I am not at all surprised that JT was ready for that handshake. Because no matter how you feel about Justin Trudeau, his two proven skills are photo opportunities and core strength. Of course he was ready for that handshake. That's his jam. Just, oh, core strength, engage. Oh, there's cameras. Click.
It's almost time to find out how smart Carol is. But first, let's find out how interesting Todd from Todd Mechanical is. He's been working in our home throughout the time that we've been taping this particular episode of Gross Misconduct. He joins us in studio now as our first ever studio guest. Welcome.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you, Todd. I know that we've been talking about you for weeks. But, you know, people don't know much about you or your business, other than you were smart enough to sponsor this podcast.
Well, we'll see if that's smart yet or
well,
not.
Well, I think it's already got you some business. I mean, You're putting sinks in our house. Tell me about you. What are you?
Well, I'm a plumber.
Okay.
I have my plumbing and gas tickets.
Okay. Plumbing and gas tickets.
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm gas certified to work on natural gas.
I believe I'm gas certified as well. We could be referring to something completely different.
My gas certified works around 24 hours. Yours are probably between a few hours.
Mostly at night, yeah. So why aren't you called Todd's Plumbing?
I considered that.
Okay.
When I opened up my business, I saw all the major plumbing companies, when they became big, change from plumbing to mechanical because they incorporated HVAC and refrigeration.
Okay.
So in the process of me opening up my company, I made the decision to go mechanical right off the bat because, one, I wouldn't have to change my name in the future as I grow. And two, it makes me sound like a bigger player than I actually am.
Well, you know, both of those are absolutely fair points. So you do plumbing, you do gas fitting. So what's that? Appliances, gas appliances?
Yeah. Your furnaces, hot water.
Oh,
tanks.
Furnaces too. Okay.
Yeah.
So you do it all.
Well, not all, but I'm pretty well-rounded, as you can see from over there.
Yeah, that was way too easy. I think we're both quite well-rounded. So I had a couple of questions I wanted to ask you. The first of which, I know you and I spoke about this last time you were over, and then today when you showed up as well. I said that like it was a negative thing. When you showed up, you were here right on time.
I came to do a bunch of work.
Yeah.
And I only got half of it done.
Yeah, so far.
Now, I can blame Carol for measuring the sink wrong.
Again?
Well, no, just the first
one. Oh, the first time. Yeah, absolutely.
Because I allotted about 5 hours worth of work, and that sink took 4 on the first one.
I find it smart not to blame Carol for anything. but you and I spoke about the bubble, and are you being asked to be part of this?
Yeah, so when I first started my company, my wife said, you should go and apply for a job at OEG.
Mm-hmm.
There was an ad. They were looking for a plumber. So I went there and I said, well, yeah. And in the interview, they're like, so why are you here? I'm like, because my wife said I should come.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
So
surprised they didn't sign you up right then. Right. Oh, your wife said, damp. All right, fair enough. Yeah.
Oh, he listens. Good for him.
Yeah, that's true too. Follows direction. Yeah, perfect.
So I enjoy going there because you're there to put out fires, which I love. And then in my downtime, I'm behind the scenes to see what's going on in the building. So
okay.
There are a lot of benefits to working there.
So there has to be a plumber on call at all times during a hockey game?
Yes. Oh. So at any given time, if they're playing hockey in the building, there's a plumber behind the scenes somewhere. Therefore, I assume it's if you have a catastrophe, it can be shut down so they don't have to shut the game down.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And you've been asked to do that. Are there more plumbers than...
Yeah, there's 4 or 5 of us.
4 or 5, eh?
Yeah.
Wow. But are you getting the good games, I guess is the question.
Well, because they're having games all over the place, it's kind of like you just... It's easier just to schedule a shift and hope the games fall on your day.
Can you watch the games? Just say yes, because nobody's ever going to fact check that.
Yeah. It gets really interesting. The Oil Kings games, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You have lots of places.
Well, I think anybody can go watch those,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah. But when it comes to Oilers games, all the capital in the building is spoken for.
Okay.
So the goal is to find where to watch the game where you're not going to be in anyone's way, where no one's going to question you for being there.
Penalty box.
Zamboni entrance.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. The Zamboni entrance is a favorite of mine, but we have to stand far enough back so that no one can see us.
And you don't want to get hit by the Zamboni. Those are the two things.
They got horns, right?
Before I let you go, the question I really wanted to ask you, and this isn't the question. Did you used to listen when I was on radio?
No.
Oh, that's even better. So you won't see this coming at all. So I sort of had this reputation on radio of asking the standard questions and then asking some question out of left field that nobody saw coming whatsoever and oftentimes got the best answer. So having set the bar that high, as a plumber, a gas fitter, apparently a firefighter, and a furnace man, what is the most disgusting thing you've ever seen in someone's home?
That's a loaded question because I'm a plumber.
Mm-hmm.
So the most disgusting plumbing wise is
let's not take the easy route. What is the most disgusting thing you've seen? You walked in and went, oh.
Well, you get to the front door and 1 in 1,000 houses, maybe you'll hit a smell like, like a next level smell. And you're like, I can't do this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking number 2, eh?
No, we're talking, I don't know what that is. It doesn't make any sense. This is not livable. I don't understand how people can breathe this. This isn't healthy.
Wow. And that's it for you?
Well, I could go on and on for hours about all the...
No, I'm telling you, that's it from you. Todd Mechanical, Todd from Todd. I know we advertise it on the show. How do they get hold of you if they want you?
Well, they can call me. I like calling. If you text me, I'll probably call you back because I'm that jerk guy.
Yeah.
Most of my time is spent on the road, so if I'm in my truck, I really don't want to be texting.
Fair enough.
But yeah, you can call me at 780-499-7598, or you can find me on Facebook. Text me, email me. You can find me almost anywhere on the internet these days. It's so...
You don't have a website though, right?
I sure do.
Oh, okay. What's the website?
www.toddsmech.com.
So when you're done all the work here in our house, of course, we'll write you a recommendation. We expect that to be somewhere on your website, recommended by.
Absolutely.
All right, cool.
Just no backlinks.
Yeah, no, exactly right. Or analytics. All right, that's Todd from Todd's Mechanical. Before you go, Todd, I need you to do one more thing. We're going to do How Smart is Carol, the segment, and we're going to need you to spin the wheel.
Awesome.
All right, so we'll do that in just a moment, but first this.
This is Jeopardy!
Right, Carol, I'm pretty excited about this week's How Smart Is Carol?
Okay.
And I'll tell you why, because first of all, you're at $400,
mm-hmm.
which is fabulous.
Ooh.
Well done.
Thanks.
We had Todd in studio, as you know. You gave up your microphone.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't gone back to work yet on our sinks, because I asked him if he would stick around and spin Todd's mechanical How Smart Is Carol wheel.
Mm.
And, you know, Todd being Todd, he's a great guy, by the way.
Yes, he is.
He brought an additional square for the wheel.
Oh.
And should it happen to fall on that, there's a bonus. So in addition to whatever you bet on the category that the wheel falls upon, if it falls upon the bonus,
uh-huh.
there's a bonus for you.
Okay.
Did you follow all
like
that?
Like a monetary bonus?
Well, you'll see.
Okay.
Only if it falls
only,
on that.
Okay. Otherwise, I will never know what it is.
Exactly.
Is that only for this week because Todd's
just
here?
Just this week.
Oh, okay.
It only happens when Todd's in-house. We can't okay. be just...
Well, Todd's going to have to come every week.
Giving away shit willy-nilly like that. All right, Todd, give her a spin, buddy.
The How Smart Is Carol wheel is brought to you by the best plumbing services in Edmonton. Todd's Mechanical. Providing you with all of your plumbing and heating needs. Edmontonians keep warm and dry with Todd's Mechanical. Call them at 780-499-7598 or find them online at toddsmech.com. And don't forget to like them on Facebook.
All right, here we go.
Big money, big money.
Bonus. Come on, bonus.
No whammies.
Oh, it's so close. Oh! The bonus!
Oh, okay.
Excellent. All right. So we're going to ask you a standard Jeopardy question from
okay.
Final Jeopardy.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to bet as much as you would like, up to $400.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bonus.
Bonus question?
Yeah. If you get the Jeopardy question correct,
mm-hmm.
you will then be allowed to try the bonus question
oh.
for an additional $100.
Okay.
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 So
it's not like if I get the bonus question wrong, I lose all my money or anything like that.
No.
Okay.
It's a all bonus. Right.
Okay.
It's not a penalty.
No, but sometimes it's like, okay, you got it wrong. So
you're right.
taking all your money away.
Your category is jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
Jewelry is your category.
Mm.
And here is your question. What element is a diamond made from? Okay, I feel like you don't need the 14 seconds for this particular question.
It's quite easy. I feel like this is not really a jewelry category. I feel like this should be like an earth element, earthful, elemental, whatever.
That is how cocky Carol is. Not only does she intend to nail the answer, but she wants to critique Jeopardy at the same time.
I do.
The question was, what element is diamond made from? Is a diamond made from? Your answer was, what is carbon, which is correct.
Woo!
And you wagered $400.
All
so you,
my monies.
All your monies.
All my monies.
You're now at $800.
That is some crazy shit.
And again, because of Todd's mechanical wheel, How
okay.
Smart Is Carol
Ooh.
Wheel,
mm-hmm.
Bonus, we have an additional question for you.
Okay.
You must maintain eye contact with me. You may not look down at your notes. Carol.
Okay.
What are the five words from the Montreal cognitive test that President Trump is so proud he remembered 10 minutes after being told?
Okay. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
That is correct.
I can be president too.
You as well as Kevin can be president. Good for you. And I might point out to our listeners that it was many more minutes that President
that was,
Trump.
Yeah. Jeez, that was like many
quite
minutes.
Quite some time ago.
Because we actually took a break after Todd was in studio.
We went outside and had a smoke.
Which was a mistake because now I've got swass, I've got swoobs.
Okay, stop it.
All right, $900
yep.
I am at.
Tease. Yeah, good for you. $900. Somebody make a note of that. Coming up this summer, August 6th is my next live show. I'll be at Old McDonald's Resort on the Old Mac Music Stage. That's an outdoor show. It's free, by the way. Mm-hmm. If you happen to be camping or you're in the area, drop by. August 11th to 15th, I'll be at Rumors Comedy Club in Winnipeg, Manitoba. That falls over a Thursday, which means we'll have to probably pre-tape Gross Misconduct. August 27th, where am I again? I can never remember.
Why do you do this every week? You are at Piston Broke Brewery in Brooks, Alberta.
If you want to hire me to come perform for your event, go to Andrew Gross, G-R-O-S-E, andrewgross.com, or visit callbackent.com. You can hire any number of comedians from there. And if you want to find out more about the Comedy Festival, go to atbcomedy.com. Time now for the Big Blue Folder.
The Big Blue Folder is brought to you by Crystal Glass. Crystal Glass offers windshield replacement and glass repair services for all types of vehicles, including cars, trucks, vans, and recreational vehicles. Call 310-GLASS or visit them online at crystalglass.ca.
Time to see if Carol can get a hat trick. And by that, I mean you got the Jeopardy question mm-hmm. correct. You got the bonus question correct.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an additional question from the Big Blue Folder.
Mm.
So someone looked into the set list for 50 major rock bands to find out which song they've played live the most. So, you know, you go to see your favorite band, they mm-hmm. always want to play the new tune. But, of mm-hmm. course, if you know.
Yeah, people go there for the classics.
Exactly. So having looked at it, and you can check this out yourself on loudwire.com.
Mm.
Of the 50 major rock bands and or performers, so don't be thrown off by the word
okay.
band.
Mm.
Can you tell me, Carol, any idea what artist and what song came in number one? I'll tell you, it's a guy.
Okay.
And he's done it live 2,784 times.
Do it live. Can I have a hint?
Sure.
Just a little hint. Oh, okay.
Here's a hint.
Oh, we get music.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live. Yeah. Fuck it.
There, that's a hint.
Can I have like a little hint?
Oh, okay.
Just a tiny, tiny little hint.
Sure.
Okay. It's Alice Cooper.
Yes. That's a bit of a hint.
And what is the name of the song?
School's Out.
No, that's not. That's not School's Out for Summer, is it?
Yes, it is.
Is it?
Well, it's playing lightly in the background.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay. Well, I got half points.
School.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, there you go. What did I say? 2,784 times.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. That's incredible.
Good for you, Vincent.
From the Big Blue Folder, we were talking earlier in this show about the bubble mm-hmm. here in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the NBA has a bubble as well. And there's a player from the LA Clippers. His name is Lou Williams. Now, you and I are not NBA fans.
No.
Don't know anything about this.
No.
So you're allowed to leave the bubble if you have absolutely important extenuating circumstances going on.
Mm-hmm.
And last week, the father of a very close friend of his passed away.
Okay.
And the service was held. So he asked the team and the NBA to allow him to leave the bubble to be able to go to the service. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So he left to go to the service. That is, however, not where he ended up. He
to the peelers, did he?
He did. He stopped off at a gentleman's club called Magic City and accidentally was outed by a rapper named Jack Harlow, who recognized him, posed for a picture with him, and then posted it on social media.
Mm. Is that all he did while he was out of the bubble? Just went to the strippers, went back?
I think he actually went to the service. And then stopped.
Oh,
on his way
for
back.
A celebration of life.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
And tits. He admitted he went to the strip club. He claims he only stopped in to get the food because, as we've mentioned on this very podcast. Yeah. I mean, I don't know why else you go to a strip club, but for the food.
Mm-hmm.
So now here's the deal. If he had just gone to the funeral, he would have had to quarantine for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But a strip club is considered higher risk. So he has now been ordered to quarantine for 10 days. He'll miss at least 2 games as a result of it, which means he'll forfeit approximately $150,000 of his salary.
Oh, I thought it would have been more than that.
Yeah, you would have thought so. Do NBA players not make better money than that?
Although, well, 2 games, $150,000, yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
pretty
in other bank. News, by the way, the NBA is dealing with fans a little differently than baseball. When the season restarts this Thursday, 300 fans will get to attend each game virtually on a Zoom meeting.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, the NBA will live stream their faces on a giant court-sized video screen so that players will be able to see them. And they'll also have a screen behind each basket.
Fun.
But you know who won't be enjoying any of that?
Who?
Well, Lou Williams, okay. Because...
I forgot his name, that's why I didn't ask him.
I guess you could say he blew the bubble. Hey, speaking of guys making a mistake, a 25-year-old guy from Long Island was waiting to be sentenced after he was found guilty of driving a stolen Lexus and then trying to steal a truck to get away from police. So what he did to avoid jail time, he decided to fake his own death. He got his fiancée to feed his lawyer a fake death certificate that said he had killed himself.
Oh,
and it looked so real that the lawyer bought it and submitted it. But there was a part on the bottom that said it was issued by the New Jersey Office of Vital Statistics and Registry, but he spelt the word registry wrong.
It's a giveaway.
Yeah, he put the S before the I, so someone at the registry realized it was fake, and the police tracked him down. It turned out he'd fled the state. He'd been arrested in Philadelphia for theft, for giving the cops a fake name. So he was already in jail when they went looking for him. Yeah. All right. So quickly, before we let you all go, some coronavirus updates. These are fast ones. A maskless woman at Papa Murphy's pizza joint in Washington got into it with employees and customers. She claimed she doesn't have to wear a mask because she's hard of hearing.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Before leaving, she also dropped the line, "I have a right to my pizza." You know, there's an argument to be had there. A woman at a donut shop in El Paso threw a box of donuts at an employee who asked her to wear a mask. Scientists who track earthquakes say the lockdowns caused a huge drop in seismic activity.
Mm.
Yeah, 50% less in March, April, and May.
Interesting.
Mm. Sales of realistic sex dolls are up since the crisis started. One guy with 5 of them says it would have been a lot harder without them around.
Yeah, I get it.
It would have been a lot harder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
Ice cream sales jumped 26% in the first 3 months of the pandemic in the United States, and 59% of people with gym memberships say they don't plan to renew them when this is over, saying they found better, more affordable ways to stay in shape during this crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And officials in Pakistan are telling people to buy their sacrificial animals online instead of in person to try and avoid catching coronavirus at the market.
Mm, what, they just deliver a... goat to your door?
I don't know how that works. Ring the doorbell. Your little app says, "Your goat is here." And finally, the Texas Testicle Festival in Fredericksburg, Texas, is planning to go ahead this Saturday despite coronavirus. So good news for anyone willing to risk their life to eat lots of animal balls. All right. We should probably thank a couple of people real quick. Meat Depressed sang the song "You're a Dick." Purple Planet provided our intro. And what does Kevin think? If you want to support this podcast, you can go to paypal.me/grossmisconduct. And gross is spelled G-R-O-S-E.
I want to thank Todd, too, from
of
Todd's
course.
Mechanical.
Oh, of course. For stopping by. Thank you so much for doing that, Todd. And for, of course, putting in all these sinks.
In studio guest.
Yeah.
It's nice. And he spun the wheel.
He did. And you got the bonus.
I know. Good job. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd.
Everything was done really quite well. And by the way, if the app you're using to download this particular podcast happens to be Pandora, welcome aboard. Pandora, after months, approved our podcast. Everyone else already had, like Google and Spotify and Apple and every CastBot, everybody, except Pandora.
Hmm.
And then Pandora approved it today.
Okay, well, Good.
Yeah. So I don't even know what that means. You can't even get Pandora in Canada.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah. That you can't get it in Canada?
Yeah.
Well, if you try and go to their website, it says you're not authorized to... Well, maybe it's just my
maybe
computer.
It's just you.
No, it's... Trust me,
maybe you've
this.
Been red flagged.
All right. I know that you like it when somebody plays us out.
Well, I think we know what I like. I don't know what that means.
I don't know either, but...
Bill O'Reilly. That's what I like.
Yeah, you like Bill O'Reilly. Yeah. John Pumper will play us out. John Pumper, you can... John is spelled J-O-N if you want to find more of his work. John Pumper will play us out with his original tune, Corona Home. So that's it for us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in once again to Gross Misconduct. We'll be back again next week. Carol, thanks for being here, as always.
Thank you. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's in the kitchen, so don't have far to go.
All very true.
We'll do it live. We'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Aruba, Jamaica, ooh, I wanna take ya. Bermuda, Bahama, come on, pretty mama. Key Largo, Montego, baby, why don't we go?
Cause we can't.
We're in quarantine. From a can, afternoons coloring with crayons. It's been 13 seconds since I last went to go wash my hands in my Corona. Aerobics, cornflakers, don't give me handshakers. Please remove your mama. Time to watch my dramas. No labor, no razor, out of toilet paper in my Corona. Spent the last few days all alone, playing with styrofoam. In my Corona,
my feet, they reek, haven't showered in a week.
Browsing on my knees, panic shopping for groceries. And by and by we'll defy the guidelines from the CDC. Lost my appetite. Cocktails during business, guys. No one comes to socialize. It's an introverted paradise in my Corona. No moolah for takeout. Ooh, we shouldn't make out. Haven't changed my pajamas. Learning how to samba. Nintendo, Lumbago. Time to Marie Kondo. In our Corona. We shouldn't ask how long this will go. Don't think we want to know. In our Corona homes.
This episode of Gross Misconduct was brought to you by Todd's Mechanical, where your cognitive abilities never matter. Say, person, woman, man, camera, TV, and receive $50 off your next bill. Find them online at toddsmech.com or call them at 780-499-7598, and don't forget to like them on Facebook.